Lord, as we turn our attention to your word, I pray that you would be pleased to speak to us, Lord. Help us to hear your heart, Lord. Help us to sense your presence. Lord, I also want to pray for the nation of Israel right now. Father, I pray, Lord, for the people of Israel and all that's going on there right now, Lord, with the war and all of the death and brutality, Lord, that we've seen. Father, we know that the evil one is behind all of it, for he is a destroyer, Father. We pray, Lord, that you would be the covering of your people, Lord, that you would be ministering particularly, Lord, to those who are part of the body of Christ, Lord, but you strengthen them and use them, Lord, to speak Yeshua into the lives of their friends, family, their neighbors and co-workers, Lord. Would you give wisdom to the leaders as they make decisions, Father? We pray for the Jewish people. We pray for the Arab people, Lord, who are so impacted by these things, those who have lost loved ones, Father, or are unsure of the status of their loved ones, Lord. We pray for them for a measure of comfort. Might they cry out to you. Lord, might your Holy Spirit guide us tonight, Lord. Might we just experience the wonder of being in your presence, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you can turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms. Psalm 140. Psalm 140. Lord willing, we will finish this book tonight. And I have to say I've really enjoyed the journey, as I always do. I love the book of Psalms and the hearts of the psalmists as they write and minister to us. David, of course, being the predominant writer, if you will, of Psalms. And this psalm is a psalm of David. Psalm 140, we read, "Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man, which imagine mischiefs in their heart. Continually are they gathered together for war. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips, Selah. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man who have purposed to overthrow my goings. The proud have hid a snare for me in cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set gins for me, Selah." So David's call for direction, Lord, I need your help. I need your covering. I need your protection because I'm surrounded by evil people. And I suppose you could say that's very pertinent today. It's been true all along, but it's particularly on our minds right now as we see what's unfolding in the nation of Israel and the surrounding countries. The goal, of course, is the destruction of God's people, because we know that behind all of that is the evil one. He's driving these activities. As we watch the brutality that's unfolding, we know and understand and can identify the fact that really the only way to explain that kind of those kinds of actions really is to attribute it to the demonic. And it is demonically driven, it's demonically inspired, it's demonically empowered. And that's why I believe God calls us to pray for Israel, to stand in the gap on their behalf. And we need to continue to do that. David goes on in verse 6, "I said unto the Lord, Thou art my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation. Thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. Grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Further not his wicked device, lest they exalt themselves." Selah, David's call, really for discernment. Lord, help me to discern. Help me to know what you are doing in my life. He needed God's provision. He needed God's direction, as do we in these days. We need discernment. We need to know God's direction. And we need to pray because we want to see victory over those forces of evil. So we need to be praying for one another. And that's one of the things I want to encourage you again about. If you don't have a church directory, grab one, or talk to one of us. We'll get you one so that you can be praying through the directory on a regular basis. We should be praying for one another regularly because it is so important in these days. We cover one another in prayer, and it makes a difference. It makes a huge difference. And so I really want to encourage you to press in this year, and particularly now we're moving towards the end of the year. We're moving unbelievably to a new year, 2024, and we need to be praying because there's much coming down the pike, not only as we see what's unfolding in the Middle East, but all the things we see going on in our nation and in the world at large with all of the technology and all the things that are being imposed upon us. It's easy to become overwhelmed by those things. And so David says in verse 9, "As for the head of those that compass me about, let the mischief of their own lips cover them. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, that they rise not up again. Let not an evil speaker be established in the earth. Evil shall hunt the violent man to overthrow him. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and the right of the poor. Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence." So David's call for deliverance. He says, let the devices of the sinners come back upon them. Because he says to the Lord, he says, I know that you work on behalf of your people. And he is working. He's working on behalf of his people. He's using these. He will use all of these things that we see going on. As horrific as they are, we know that God will use them for his glory and the good of his people. Not only the people Israel, but his people, the church. These things should be motivating the church to action. It should be motivating the church to engagement. We need to engage our culture. We need to engage our world. We need to be connected to what's going on, and we need to be crying out to the Lord for guidance and direction. Psalm 141, another psalm of David, he says, Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. I love verse 2. That is so descriptive, this whole idea of words being likened to incense, that spiritual application of the offering of prayer. It says incense ascending to heaven. We've talked about the altar of incense in not only the tabernacle, but in the temple, as a priest would put the incense on the coals and the smoke would ascend and it would fill the room with that fragrance and with the smoke. And it was a wonderful picture of the prayers ascending to heaven. You see it in Revelation chapter 5, if you want to jot that down and look at it later. But the idea that as we pray, it brings a sweet savor, a sweet scent, if you will, to our God. And he likens also the whole idea of the lifting up of our hands as being like the evening sacrifice. I want to encourage you to engage in that activity, if you will, in worship, whether it's in the sanctuary or in your home, that there are times when we can lift our hands to him and just really in an abandonment, you know, to just say, Lord, I worship you, I praise you, I honor you, worthy, Lord, you're worthy. And we see example after example, both in Old and New Testament, of the importance of the lifting up of our hands and offering the Lord that free will offering. In verse 3, he goes on, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. We probably ought to have that verse double underlined. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. Lord, help me to know and remember that words are weapons or can be weapons. They can either heal or they can hurt. We all know that. We've all been engaged on both ends of that spectrum, not only doing damage to those around us, but also finding ourselves in that place where we can lift them up. We can encourage them. We can be a blessing in their lives, you see. That should be our prayer. Lord, help me to control my tongue. Help me to use my tongue for edification and not for destruction. Good counsel, guys, is a fountain of blessing. Good counsel. And sometimes we need to speak hard things to those around us, but it should always be with the motivation of love to see them restored, redirected, blessed. The scripture says what? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. And we all perhaps have experienced that at one time or another, where somebody's come alongside of us and wounded us, if you will, but for the purpose of seeing us restored, confronting us and pressing us to change, to move in a different direction. In verse 6, we read, when their judges are overthrown in stony places, they shall hear my words, for they are sweet. Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth, as when one cuts and cleaves wood upon the earth. But mine eyes are unto thee, O God, the Lord. In thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. Keep me from the snares which they have laid for me and the gins of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, whilst that I with all escape. David's prayer is, Lord, keep me. We heard testimony of that tonight. Individual directed by God's Spirit to take a different route to avoid the potential of harm to that individual had they gone their normal direction, their normal route. And God will do that in our lives. He will redirect us. He will protect us. And he says to the Lord, keep me from the snares which they have laid for me. Lord, I cannot see everything that's out there. Lord, I'm depending upon you to be my covering. I'm depending upon you to be my protection. That when I walk over that trap, if you will, that you'll be the one who undergirds me and keeps me from falling into that snare. That's what the Lord will do. God, guys, is the judge. And David is the faithful. He says, I want, Lord, I want you to do your work. Psalm 142, a maskil of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. We looked at this in detail on Sunday, but let's read through it nevertheless. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint, or the concerns, cares of my heart before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand, behold, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Those times of personal aloneness, we talked about that. There are times when we feel very isolated, just like David. He was in that cave. He was alone. He was wondering where everyone was. And he was saying, Lord, I don't understand. I have no refuge. I have no one to lean on. I have no one to pay attention to me, Lord, except you. Except you. And he comes to that conclusion in verse 5. He says, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. That is the truth. God, he says, you are my strength. And that's so true. Is that not true in our lives tonight? Can we say that? God is my strength? Yes. He's there. He's faithful. And I love what Paul tells Timothy. Even when we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he can't deny himself. He's there. He's always been there. He will always be there. God's bounty is available to you, and it's available to me. It's totally accessible. All we need to do is turn to him, because he is the giver of every good and perfect gift. And he said, if we will but confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Psalm 143, another psalm of David. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy service, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. I love that. No one living is righteous in and of themselves. Our works are just filthy rags, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And we praise him because he is so, so wonderful. The righteousness is God's alone, and he has imparted it to you. He has imparted it to me through the finished work of Jesus Christ. We have been declared righteous. I know we don't feel very righteous most of the time, and we don't certainly want to be self-righteous, but we can claim the righteousness of Jesus because he's clothed us with a garment of righteousness. We are justified by faith, which results in works. An active faith will result in works. It isn't the works that save us, but they are a testimony to the reality that we have been saved, that we are righteous, that we have the Spirit of God within us. That's what James talks about. Faith without works is dead. But if you have a living and vital faith, if I have a living and vital faith, the natural outcome of that is going to be works. It just motivates us because of the love of Christ. We want to please him, and we want to be in that, on the cusp, if you will, of that exciting journey of the supernatural, where God all of a sudden just opens doors of opportunity for us to minister those divine appointments that we have. It's an amazing thing to see unfold in our lives. He says in verse 3, "For the enemy hath persecuted my soul." You found that to be true? The enemy comes against us, does he not? And he tries to bring condemnation into our lives. "He has smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the works of thy hands." Lord, in the midst of this trial, in the midst of this tragedy, I'm going to think back about the better days, Lord, when I saw you active in my life. All the wonderful things you have done. He says, verse 6, "I stretch forth my hand unto thee. My soul thirsts after thee as a thirsty land." Selah, Selah. David reminds us that we have an enemy. And by the way, it's not our mates. It's that roaring lion that is moving through our world. And he says there in those verses 5 and 6, that it's important to remember the days gone by, to remember, to meditate upon those things, to muse or to roll them around in our minds, in our hearts, and allow him to do his work in us. Because you and I need to be thirsting after God and not the world. It's easy to allow the world to distract us. But as we thirst after him, it's the idea of thirsting like as a desert that soaks up water when it falls. Lord, just fill me up. Fill up the cracks of my life, Lord, right? When the water goes in and the cracks disappear because the ground swells and it takes care of those cracks. And that's what happens in our lives. As the Lord pours his water into our lives, it removes the cracks. He brings wholeness once again. He says there in verse 7, Send thine hand from above, hear me speedily, O Lord, my heart faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Lord, I need connection with you. Cause me to hear what you would say to me tonight, tomorrow, in the days ahead. Lord, help me to hear your voice. You tell me in your word that your sheep know your voice, Lord. Help me to hear your voice. I lift my soul to you. I lift to you my mind. I lift to you my will. I lift to you my emotions, Lord. You are the great healer. You are the great provider. And I need your touch. In verse 9, he says, Lord, deliver me. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble, and of thy mercy cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. Lord, deliver me from evil. Sounds kind of like the Lord's Prayer, right? The Lord's Prayer. Deliver me from evil. Teach me, he says there in those verses. Teach me, Lord, to do the right things, to do those things which are pleasing to you, Lord. Lead me in the paths of righteousness. Help me to be upright. When we fall over, we need to get back up. That's what we do with our kids, right? We let them fall, but then we help them to get back up and continue to learn how to walk, to learn how to run, to learn how to live. He says there in those verses, revive me, Lord, to spiritual fullness. Fill me afresh. Pray for the fresh filling of God's Spirit every day. Moment by moment as you're moving through the day, be mindful that he's there and just pray. Arrow prayer, arrow prayer, Lord, fill me afresh with your Spirit. I need to experience the fullness of your Spirit in my life. Psalm 144, Psalm of David. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? Or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity, his days are as a shadow that passes away. And there is so much in those verses. He says, Lord, what is man? The answer is, man is the work of God's hands. We've been created in his image. You and I realize our smallness and the bigness of God. And as you read through these descriptors that he uses of God, it's really mind-blowing. He's my goodness and my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, the one in whom I can trust. Our God is everything to us. And listen, we found out from Psalm 139 that God's heart is set upon us. His heart is set upon us. He thinks about us all the time. And he's mindful of what's going on in your life. He's mindful of what's going on in my life. And he's working out his plan. Make no mistake about it. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, verse 5, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above and rid me and deliver me out of the great waters, from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speak vanity and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivers David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouths speak vanity and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. God's hand of protection and God's hand of blessing in our lives. Lord, you're the one that is delivering me. And because of that, Lord, I want to sing to you a new song. That's why we come into the sanctuary to worship, to lift our voices to him, to tell him of his worth, to declare what he's doing, and to acknowledge those things in our lives. And those things, as we pour out from our lives, those things, listen, are flowing into the lives of our children. The works of our hands are impacting our kids because they see how we're living, what we're doing, what we're saying, where we go. And it becomes a testimony, I trust, to the reality that God's doing his work in us. How amazing is that? Verse 12, he says that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. I love that. You want to be happy? Then make God the God of your life. That's the key. That's what David's saying. If you want to experience that fullness, Psalm 145, David's Psalm of Praise. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another. That's our charge, to pass on to the next generation what God has done, so that they might catch the vision of the greatness of our God, that same God might become their God, so that they can then say the same thing to the next generation. The wonder of what God is doing. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the mighty of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great mercy. We see those same words again and again in the Psalms, and it harkens back to Moses in God's presence on Mount Sinai. It's a reminder to us that our God is unsearchable. He is amazing. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. The God of grace. Listen, the God of grace is not just the New Testament God. We see the God of grace in the Old Testament. You want to see God's grace? Read the book of Jeremiah. You see God's grace in that book. As difficult as it is, as difficult as his ministry was, God was still expressing his grace as he was calling out to his people to come to him. Listen, we need to make it a priority in our lives to daily speak about God's grace, God's provision, God's protection, God's movement in our lives and the lives of those around us. Make it a priority to at least once in a day speak of the things of God to someone else, because it's refreshing to them and it's renewing to us, because we give out, and as we give out, God pours more in. And that way there's this continual recycling of God's amazing work in our lives, and it remains fresh and vital and powerful. We need to repeat, we need to recite scripture in our praise. We need to be sharing scripture with others. It should just kind of fall out of our lips in our conversations, you see. Verse 10, he goes on. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. Everything that God created is good. His works praise him. We simply need to humble ourselves before God and seek his favor. The eyes of all, verse 15, wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon his name in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserves all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. That was David's heart. The richness of God's character. Satan always calls God's goodness into question. Even in our own minds and hearts, we can find ourselves going through that question as we're going through difficult times, as we're struggling, as we're under attack. But we're reminded of his righteousness. as we go to his word, as we rehearse what he's done in our lives to this point in time, we simply need to allow him to minister to us. When those fiery darts come, we need to cast our cares on him. We need to cast those things away. We need the fruit of understanding God's goodness in our lives. Psalm 146, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goes forth. He returns to his earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looses the prisoners. We're simply temporal beings. This thing that we call our bodies is a tent that is breaking down. I don't know if you've noticed that, but it's happening. On the other hand, our God is eternal, unchanging. In 2 Corinthians, Paul would remind us of that. He says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. That's where we're headed. A new body. We're going to be just like Jesus. Amazing to think about. And he tells us there that true happiness is found in that personal relationship with the God of heaven. That's where we're going to find satisfaction. That truly is good news. The Lord, verse 8, opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises them that are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord preserves the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down. Yes. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. So what's the work of God? Healing, strength, love, protection, relief, judgment. All of those are works of God. But guys, listen, in this moment of time, we are his hands and his feet. We are the ones who are carrying out the work of ministry in this world. In Psalm 147, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely or lovely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the broken in heart, binds up their wounds. He tells the number of the stars. He calls them all by their names. Great is our God and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Isn't that true? God has named and numbered the stars. You know, in the day, the early astronomers counted the stars. They determined that there were somewhere between 3,000 and 6,000 stars. Because that's what you can see with the naked eye. With all the technology that's happened, we now know that our solar system has 200 billion stars, and it's just a pinpoint on the arm of the Milky Way galaxy. And you look at all of our universe and then say, and God has named every star. Wow. Wow. That's amazing. We serve an amazing God. He goes on there in verse 6. The Lord lifts up the meek. He casts the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covers the heaven with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow upon the mountains. He gives to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. He delights not in the strength of the horse. He takes not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Do you hope in his mercy tonight? I rely upon his mercy regularly. God takes pleasure in worship, even though he has all power. He desires to love the love and praise of his people. Praise the Lord, verse 12, O Jerusalem, praise thy God, O Zion, for he has strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children with thee. He makes peace in thy borders and fills thee with the finest of wheat. He sends forth his commandment upon earth. His word runs very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. He casts forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them. He causes his wind to blow and the waters flow. He shows his hand unto Jacob. He shows his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation. As for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. David basically says what? The Jews are God's chosen people. And he desires obedience from his people. And one day they will give it. Right now, they're largely in unbelief, walking in opposition to him. But that's going to change. Psalm 148, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. So David calls for the praise of the heavenlies, of the God of all creation. The psalmist would say that the heavens declare the glory of God. And is it not true? Praise the Lord, verse 7, from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapors, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, the kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the heavens, the earth and heaven. So God's not only praised by the heavenlies, he's to be praised by the terrestrial, us, the earth, all of his creation. In verse 14, he says, he also exalts the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 149. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. There needs to be thought and worship. The Lord would tell the woman at the well, God's desiring those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. We are building a throne for God in our praise. And so we need to praise with thought. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and the harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouths and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all the saints. Praise ye the Lord. What is it? There's victory, listen. There's victory in worship. Our hearts are changed as we worship. He talks about on their beds, the idea of worshiping him. In the New King James Study Bible, we read, in some of the festivals of Israel, such as Passover, The people would recline at feast tables as a vivid symbol that they had been redeemed. In the first Passover in Exodus 12, the people were to eat standing, ready to travel. The custom had developed for the people to recline at the table, symbolizing their redemption and the enjoyment of God's work in their lives, the idea of being at rest before Him. In a sense, when we come into worship, we find that place of rest, that place of renewal, that place of encouragement. And that's what the sanctuary is to do for you and for me. It's to provide that place of safety, that refuge. In verse 1 of Psalm 150, we read, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him with the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." Let everything that has breath praise Jehovah. That's our call. And can we say together, hallelujah? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we do praise You tonight, Lord. We give You all praise. We thank You for the Psalms. What a rich treasure You have given us, Lord, in these 150 chapters, Lord. We pray, Father, that You would speak to our hearts afresh and anew every time we go through them, Lord. And may we spend much time in the Psalms. May we learn from them and be touched by them, Lord. I pray, Father, that You would just continue to develop within us, personally and corporately, a heart of worship, where we can pour out our hearts before You, Lord, as they are broken and damaged, Lord, knowing that as we do that, healing is in the wings. Just bring Your healing touch into our lives, Lord, we pray tonight and in the days ahead as we worship You. Let our breath, Lord, praise You. Indeed, let everything that has breath praise You, Father. I pray the Lord would refresh you, would encourage you, would strengthen you as you press into the book of Psalms, as you meditate upon these things. Be encouraged that God is doing His work and will continue to do so until the time that Jesus calls us home. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.